This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey everyone and welcome. This is Felice Gerwitz with an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. And hopefully you've been listening in the month of October, so you've been able to participate in our birthday celebration with our network. Our network is currently 3 years old. And if you're listening in October next year, you'll find out that our network will be 4 years old. Every year we have a birthday celebration, and this year is no different. And this year I thought it would be fun, as you've been listening for this month, to bring on some podcasters on this network and kind of highlight them to you, my Vintage Homeschool Moms listeners. And so that's what I'm doing today. And today we are going to be highlighting Sue Meyer with Homeopathy for Mommies and Homeschooling IRLs, Kendra and Andy Fletcher, or better known as Fletch. You will hear a little bit about them and their shows in just a little bit. And today, the topic is why I continue to homeschool. You know, it's one of those things that I ask myself from time to time, you know, and kind of analyze it a little bit, but I always come to the same conclusion. So first of all, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Media Angels Publishing. Media Angels is a company I own, and we'll hear a little bit about that later, as well as this Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. And I'm just so blessed to have podcasters like Sue Meyer and Kendra and Fletch that have come alongside me to be able to bless all of you with free podcasts that we offer. And we thank you ahead of time for going to their shows and checking them out and following and subscribing on iTunes. Well, today I want to start in with one of my five reasons of why I continue to homeschool. And the first, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I am a school teacher turned homeschool mom, and I never in my wildest dreams thought I would homeschool. I thought I was going to really make an impact in education, in schooling students, and really impacting their lives. I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to be like those teachers they make movies about, okay? If truth be known. And I just, not necessarily because I wanted to be called out or have attention brought to me, but just that I wanted to make a difference in people's lives. And little did I know it was going to start with my own children at home. And I have to say, I tried the alternative. I put my son in a and my daughter in a little preschool. It was a very good preschool. It came very highly recommended, and I went and sat in on all the little preschools in town and found this one. And so I spent a lot of time researching and having a really good time while my kids were in preschool. You know, I learned to play tennis. I played a little bit in college and took some lessons and went and had lunch with my friends and really had a very nice time while my children were in preschool. And so I was already learning a lot about negative influences and things like my daughter coming out of her room one day when her friends were over. In fact, I just told my grandkids this story, and they're like, "Yeah, mommy told us that story." And so she came out of her room, and I was having you know, iced tea with my friends, and we were sitting out in the lanai, and my daughter comes out, and I said, "Well, what are you doing here, Christina?" And she said, you know, "Do you need something?" And she goes, "No." And I said, "Where are your friends?" And she goes, "They're in my room." And I said, "Oh, what are they doing?" And she goes, "Well, they won't let me play with my toys." And I looked at her and I said, "They're your toys. you know, what are you doing out here? So of course the moms jumped up all flustered and went to see what the deal was. And my daughter had gotten this new little dollhouse that had like this little electrical plugs and everything. And they were very enamored with it and wanted to play with it and just told her she needed to leave so they could play. So we were finding all kinds of things that were happening. And when I was a teacher, I witnessed a lot of burnout. Teachers who felt like kids were just a number, understaffed, teachers who loved what they were doing and loved the kid and just didn't have enough, you know, time or resources to do what we needed to do, and just a lot of other things that were happening. And it wasn't like I vowed, oh my gosh, you know, when I leave the school and stay home and have my own kids and then go back into school, which is what I was planning, that I was going to boycott the system. But I started looking at it because my son had some learning issues, and I started looking at the schools and talking to the teachers. And I even looked at some schools for my daughter as I was researching and contemplating whether I was going to, you know, what it was really more what school I was putting my child in. And, you know, we have some very expensive and elite schools here. I even looked at some of those, and I found out that what they were going to offer my children was not going to be of any more value than what I could offer them at home. In fact, academically, they were going to thrive in the home. And that's exactly what happened. My daughter's second day of school, if you want to count preschool as one, and then homeschooling K through 12, and then stepping into the college campus at FGCU as an 18-year-old. And her first day of school, actually, I guess she was 17. She was going to turn 18 in December. Was that day at college, on the college campus? I remember her coming home and saying, "Yeah, I kind of freaked out some of the kids there and told them this was my first day of school." And then I had to explain I was homeschooled, because when Christina went to school, which was some years ago in the early 2000s, you know, homeschooling wasn't as widely popular as it is now. And so, you know, when she went to campus and you know, had her school experience, you know, it was not anything that she couldn't handle. And in fact, she graduated in 3 years. So, you know, homeschooling for us was very workable. It was, it was flexible in what we were able to do. And I had already tried the alternative. I had looked at it from both sides. I had looked at it as a teacher and also as a homeschool parent. Recently, I had, breakfast with this wonderful, assistant principal and a really good friend of mine who, finished her homeschool journey, and her boys are in college, and she went back to teaching. She got her master's while she was homeschooling and, then went back into the classroom, and just listening to them and the stories. And again, good teachers, solid teachers, people who love the students, and then dealing with the bureaucracy. And I just was very happy listening to them that that we have continued homeschooling, and the alternative just is not acceptable in what I wanted to do. Let's take a minute and listen to Sue Meyer with Homeopathy for Mommies. Sue is from Minnesota. She has a storefront there where she serves delicious organic foods and has all kinds of wonderful supplements and creams and things like that. And I am probably one of Sue Meyer's best customers. She does deliver. And I'd like you to go to her website at homeopathyformommies.com and check out her her amazing book, as well as her store. And if you are in the Minnesota area, you'll want to stop by. Let's listen to what Sue has to say about homeschooling.
Hello, listeners of Vintage Homeschool Moms. This is Sue Meyer from Homeopathy for Mommies. I am so excited and happy to be with you today and to talk to you about why I continue to homeschool. Well, I guess it comes down to the fact that I just simply love my children, and I love spending time with my children, and I love knowing that my children aren't learning things that I don't want them to learn, and I'm just thankful for the years that I've had with them. I have 11 children. Felice is always talking about that on our podcast. And my oldest son just turned 35. My youngest daughter is 12. We started homeschooling 18 years ago. I think it's been 18 years ago. My son was a junior in high school. My oldest daughter was a sophomore, and the next one down was a freshman. We had 6 children in school at the time. It was nothing short of a succession of miracles that led us to homeschool. And I have never, ever, ever thought about throwing that gift back in God's face, because it has been the greatest treasure that our family could have ever hoped for, was to spend these years together. I'm kind of a slave driver. My kids tease me. Even my grandkids are starting to tease me and say, "Grandma, you're a slave driver." I say, "Yes, but if we get our work done, we can play, guys, you know?" And so that's kind of always been my motto. Let's get our work done so we can play, or so we can have some time off, or we can rest, or we can go read or do whatever we want to do together as a family, or once in a while individually, of course. But I continue to homeschool because, like I said, I've just enjoyed my family. And several of my children married homeschool children as well. A couple of them have sought outside the homeschool realm, but their spouses also are excited about the possibility of letting my children homeschool, because they can see what a wonderful family life it creates. You learn to work together, play together. You learn to interact. There's no such thing as your peer group, because the older kids always help with the younger children. And I don't think you think about it. It's just the way it is. It's just life. And that's, I think, what is one of the greatest benefits, is that children who are homeschooled look at each other like family. And not like a burden or get away from me, little kid, but they look at each other with love and respect and understand their role in the family, that we all help each other. The older kids take care of the younger ones, and the younger ones listen to the older ones with respect and honor. And I just love it. And I love this Ultimate Homeschool Radio internet system that my dear friend Felice has started. And she continues to promote all these wonderful homeschoolers around the country, around the world, actually. And she's helping to bring us together so that we have that support group that is important. We're human, and we have corporal needs. We have emotional needs that really can only be fulfilled by, you know, birds of a feather, like by like people of like mind. And so this is what's so wonderful about this network. I'm very appreciative. And I'm very appreciative for all the people who listen to my Homeopathy for Mommies. And oddly enough, like I say, they're homeschoolers. They're moms who just want to be able to take care of their children in a natural, healthy way. And so I'm so thankful for Felice and, like I say, all you listeners for supporting the network, for supporting my show, for supporting Felice. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I hope that we continue to grow and strengthen and continue to work together to bring about all the good in the world that can possibly be brought out. But I hope that you can sometime visit me on my show, Homeopathy for Mommies Radio, on this network, or on my website, homeopathyformommies.com. Like I said, if we can all just continue to help each other and support each other, then we're a shoo-in. May God bless you and yours.
I just love Sue, and I've gotten to meet Sue a couple of times, and she's even hosted some homeopathy classes in my home. And she and I are both slave drivers, and my grandkids love to come over here, because my granddaughter, the oldest of the little ones, always tells me that she feels like we're getting so much done when she's here. She's still little, so she doesn't complain about all that we accomplish. But Sue Meyer accomplishes a lot and has really had an amazing homeschool journey. So thanks so much, Sue, for sharing with us. I want to share another one of my reasons for homeschooling, and that is a nurturing environment. Even on a bad day, my kids know I love them. And even on a bad homeschool day, yes, we've had them, you know, I know that they love me. And so we've had to close the books. We've had to deal with attitudes. We've had to deal with me being sick. I used to get a lot of migraines when I was younger, and or being extremely tired. In my early 30s, I just was exhausted. And I know a lot of you listening are in your 30s. And it was something about After lunch and coming up to our loft, especially in the winter when it would be nice and warm up here, and I would sit down and listen to the kids read, and they would, prod me and say, "Mom, are you listening?" Because I'd be, dead asleep. And I found out a lot of it was because of my diet. I was eating a sandwich or, something super yummy, and I was full and just needed to take that little bit of a break because it was boring listening to them read. It was difficult to stay awake. And it was funny because as I got to eating better and eating salads and, even maybe having an apple and some peanut butter or something that I enjoyed that was going to be a little bit of a higher protein, I found that it wasn't as tired. And then I also changed when I would listen to the children read. The other thing that I absolutely loved doing to this day, my kids talk about this, and that is some mornings we would just go into my room. I have a huge king size bed, and we'd plop up all the pillows and we would do our Bible study in there. And then I would read to them either from our history, something that we were reading, a novel or something along those lines, or something to do with our science. And the kids would have their journals or their, something to color or write in. And it was just amazingly fun. I remember one of my sons had really long legs. Even as a young boy, he just sprouted up, and it wasn't as comfortable for him to sit on the bed. So I have a wonderful chair, a nice cushiony chair that I've had for over 30 years, and it's still in great shape because I think I kept it in my room instead of putting it out in the family room where everyone would sit on it. And it's my prayer corner chair, and it's a rocking chair, and it even has one of those, things that come out and you put your feet up or lay back. It's like a reclining chair. And he loved sitting in my chair. And I nursed all my babies in that chair. And he just loved it. He could sit in there and listen and be super comfy, as he put it. And I just loved it. It was such a nurturing environment for us. And as I told you at the beginning, when I began homeschooling and I just had the two younger ones, my friends from the preschool would call, and one of my friends would just say, "Oh, I'm just so upset. I'm sitting here, with our other friend, and we're having a cup of coffee at the coffee shop, and we're just thinking of you and just so worried about you, and how are you doing?" And by this time, their kids were in elementary school. And I said to my friend, I go, "Well, let's see, I've already had my second cup of coffee." I said, I'm still sitting here in my PJs, and we've just finished, two of our subjects." And she said, "You're kidding me. It's only 8:00. And I said, "Yeah, tell me about your morning." And she goes, "Well, let's see, I rushed around and my daughter forgot something and we had to go back home and get it." And anyway, she was going on and on and on. And she goes, "Wait a minute, it sounds like you're having a more relaxing time than I have every morning." And so, I love my friends and kept in touch with them for many, many years. And we kind of went separate ways. But, I still remember them fondly and all the good times we had. But I do know that my kids were raised in a nurturing environment. And as much as I loved my kids when I taught school, I know that there is no one who can love my kids as much as I do. The third thing I'm going to talk to you about is experiential learning, and we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back, and I'll share that with you. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another Labor of Love is a 3-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this ultimate homeschool radio network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American History and an American Government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much, and hope to meet you soon. Well, hi and welcome back, everyone. This is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms, and you can find the show notes on Vintage Homeschool Moms. Just go to podcast 159, and you will find information about homeschooling and why I still continue to homeschool, along with my friends that are on this podcast, Sue Myers, and Homeschooling IRLs, a very famous Kendra and Fletch. Go to vintagehomeschoolmoms.com and you can scroll down and find all of our shows there, as well as our past shows, and also find our podcaster shows there as well. All right, experiential learning. What does that mean? It's really a lot of hands-on kinds of things. I'm going to quote another one of my little quotes. Homeschooling does not come in a box. Homeschooling is learning about pond life. We have a big pond in our front yard. You're going to hear from Kendra Fletcher in just a little bit. And she was talking about doing a big unit study on ponds. We did the same thing. We took a lot of field trips. We went to North Carolina and Georgia, not only to collect fall leaves because we don't have seasons here in Florida, but also for different rocks when we were studying about the rocks, and got to do all kinds of fun things that were based on different unit studies we were learning. My kids got scuba diving certification when they were high school age, and that way that also actually counted for a college credit, and they were able to enjoy living in Florida and getting to go to the Keys. And so that was all school. When we wanted to study the solar system, the kids made full-size, life-size models, not full-size, but life-size models, and you put them all over the yard. We went to the Nature Center and looked at the display there. We went to the Mosey Museum in Tampa, which is 2.5 hours from my house, and went to look at the displays there. So when we went to the museums or the Nature Center or to the Keys or to North Carolina or Georgia or Virginia, we went to D.C. and all the places that we've been and visited, a lot of it had and did center around our homeschooling and what we were studying. And it was awesome. My kids didn't just learn from a box or a book. My kids learned from real life applications. My kids didn't just jump online, although we did do some of that. If we were stuck on something, it was so nice to be able to look at the internet. We didn't have the internet, can you imagine, with the first two like we do now. We had it, but not nearly to the extent that we used it with the older three or the younger three. And so, these were things that my kids still talk about, still remember. It was part of their upbringing, part of what they did, as homeschoolers. And the fourth is relationships. And I talked to you about this in another podcast. My kids are friends. They're friends with each other. They seek each other out over their other friends. They're not recluses. It's not like they don't have friends. They do. My son, my number three son, goes to my daughter who's was 12 when he was born, and he goes and hangs out at their house. He drives over there. He helps my son-in-law with projects. He teases the little kids. He's a big tease. And they'll come and complain to me about, Nikki. And then they go, the first thing they do when they walk in the house is ask where he is. And I'll say, Nick's at work. And then, well, when's he coming home? And I go, well, you always say that he teases you. I know, Grandma, but he doesn't mean it and he's just having fun. But, you know, he does that. He goes over there. When my daughter first got married, my younger three children used to go to her house and hang out and spend the night and have sleepovers. This was not something I allowed them to do with friends, and they were just so thrilled to be able to do that at their sister's. You know, they have really honed their relationships with us, with their family. They're grounded. And so when there have been relationships that or friendships that could happen, like I'll give you an example. My children were pressured. Let's put it this way. I was pressured into allowing them to go to youth group at our church. And so it was very short lived. And so they went, and the response of my children when they came home were, those kids are pagans. And I said, that is horrible. You know, you cannot just talk about people. I'm really very sensitive to how my children talk about other people. And so to me, that was totally unacceptable, you know, even when they, you know, privately shared some things with me. And I said, what we need to do is pray for them. Another one of my friends heard the story and she goes, you know, they called it right. And I go, irregardless, you don't talk about people that way. And so the point I'm making here is not my children's, you know, ability to, you know, size up character. But it is the fact that when they saw something that was not Christian behavior or not, would not be like promiscuousness, okay? When they saw that or heard kids talk about that type of thing, they did not say, oh, everybody does that. My kids said, oh, this is not right. And so they did not seek that relationship. And I'm getting ahead of myself because I was going to talk about morality and things like that, which I will get to. But before I go off on another tangent, I want to share with you Homeschooling IRL's Kendra and Fletch, and let's hear what they have to say.
Hey, listeners of Vintage Homeschool Moms, this is Fletch.
And this is Kendra.
From the Homeschooling in Real Life podcast. You know, we first want to say a big hearty congratulations for another birthday celebration of our network, 3 years.
Happy birthday.
We're like a preschool network because we're 3 years old. So I don't know. Are we throwing tantrums this year? Is that what we're doing?
Yep.
Hey, we're super excited to share with you today. We are going to talk about the reason we continue to homeschool.
Right. So in our family, we've been homeschooling for 19 years, and there are three graduates here, two in high school, a junior higher, a fourth grader, and then our littlest guy who actually attends a traditional school because he's special needs.
And, you know, really, I think this answer should come in the springtime because that's when people are like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
You know,
why do we continue to do this?
Or maybe the end of the year, when they're getting amped up for the next year. So really, when we're talking about why we continue to homeschool, these three reasons, you know, for us, we practice something called what?
Every child, every year.
Yeah, so what does that mean?
Well, that means that every child gets reassessed every year for us, that we have loved homeschooling. It's been a terrific tool for our family, but we have been able to think outside the box and get creative with different kids and different kids' needs. So every child, every year, we assess what would be the best thing for them.
Yeah. And so that's curriculum, that's how, that's where, that's all those questions. Mm-hmm. So in light of that, the reason we continue to homeschool is that it just makes great sense.
Yeah. So for our kids, it has been a really good fit.
Yeah. So each and every year, I know, you know, I look at them in zones because we had those three boys first and we schooled them a certain way, mm-hmm. you know, back in the day. And then we had these three girls and now we have these two little guys coming up from the the back. So it just seems like consistently for 19 years, even on our most burned out days, I will start telling you, well, go ahead and put them all into school.
Right.
And then what do? You start arguing with me.
I do. I always say, that might be the best thing for me, but I don't think it's the best thing for them.
Yeah. And so as you're arguing the point, suddenly you're arguing yourself back into homeschooling.
Right.
Because it makes the best sense.
Yeah, it's been such a good fit.
All right, so the second thing we came up with is the reason we continue to homeschool is, hey, people, flexibility.
Amen.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Hey, family vacation in October when everything's empty, best.
Yeah, oh, that was for years. Mm-hmm. That's when we take off. I love going to places where the cost is lower.
Yep, that's right.
For where we're going to stay. There's no one on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's a fun place like an amusement park where it just seems like there's less people around.
Mm-hmm.
Or educational places where we're the only people cruising through.
That's right.
You know, we live out in California, so the old West town up in the hills is packed with school kids, you know, at some points. But there are times we go up. You can do anything.
It's a ghost town.
Yeah, and the you know, the docents there are so happy to talk to you because you're like the one live family that's coming
right,
and wants
right.
to learn. So there's flexibility there. And you know what we found? We have found that as we've launched kids, and yeah. we now have some older kids that are in college and taking part in different educational modalities, I guess that's the word I'd use, we're finding that they are kind of a burden on our flexibility. You know, these college kids, like, we want to go on vacation. Like, well, I can't
get
leave.
Out of class.
Yeah. Or I can't get out of work.
That's like, right.
You know, there's a reason we homeschooled. It was flexibility. It is the yoga of education.
Ooh.
Yeah. Super flexible.
Nice. Like that.
Wow. These guests over here are the listeners of Vintage Homeschool Moms are like, who are these people?
Hey, Californians.
Yeah,
that's
Californians, and we're real life people.
If we can weave some avocados into the conversation, we'll do that too.
How about
we got yoga
street
in
tacos?
There. Street tacos.
Okay.
That's right.
So the third thing, and I'm sure every homeschooling parent says the same thing, is what, Kendra? Do it. Can you give me your best... William Wallace.
Freedom.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so that's that was who? Mel Gibson at the end of Braveheart. Mm-hmm. That was so
that was really
bad.
Lame. Yeah.
So freedom yeah. of homeschooling.
And I'm sure this is why a lot of other listeners have decided to homeschool. You have the freedom to pull different curriculum options. You have a child who has some sort of a learning style or even a disability or something about them that requires something different than what you've done before or what you experienced in school or what they've experienced in school if you're pulling them out. And so the freedom to change things around and make it really fit for that child, fit for your family, that would be one aspect of freedom for sure, Fletch.
Sure. And then the positive side, you're talking about like altering things to meet a kid's education, but there are kids that want to just run
yeah.
down some path. And the freedom of homeschooling is go for it.
Right.
Here's every tool you need to figure out what you want to figure out in this topic. Beekeeping,
yeah.
go for it.
Oh, yes.
We had a homeschool family that came in my dental office, and the kid was really into falconry. And you know what he does? He captures these wild birds and then tames them. I'm like,
that's
are
fantastic.
You kidding me? But that's what he wanted to do. So falconry was his thing. We've had kids
yep.
that, you know, Lego robotics or whatever it is. And, you know, in the other school systems, whether it's public or private or anything, they're on a track
mm-hmm.
and they're on a
right.
curriculum
just get
and
all the little guys marching in the same
yeah,
direction,
all marching in a row. And
yeah.
then, and that's what the goal is. So
sure.
in homeschooling, hey, you want to color outside the lines? Go for it.
Yeah. We have that's a big awesome. Pond in our front yard. We did a huge unit study on pond life 1 year and that was our science. That's freedom.
And I think the last thing in freedom, when you say why we continue to homeschool is that we can teach the gospel to our kids in every subject. Now, that mm-hmm. sounds like fancy words. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just saying, oh, teach the gospel in every mm-hmm. subject. But you know what? I can remember back when we were learning our numbers with the two little guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like one, number one, there's one God.
Yeah.
I just remember that saying, like, that was our example for the number one. But that may be a little silly or maybe a little trite. But, you know, there is the whole idea of teaching the gospel. Where do you find your identity? Where do you find your hope? And throughout every subject, whether it's literature and you're reading stories about great redemption
mm-hmm.
or great failure,
right?
You know, whether you're whatever it is, philosophy, religion, theology, as they get older, you
yeah.
know, you're going to go into some of those deeper topics, but just the ability to anchor your kids in the gospel. Each and every day,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the context of, hey, we're learning this. So I think those are our three reasons. Want me to review them again for you?
Sure, go
okay.
for it.
Okay, so the first one, it makes great sense.
Yep.
to homeschool. Mm-hmm. That's why we continue to homeschool. Second, it's super flexible.
Right.
And then third, it's just the freedom of being able to homeschool and to just cater towards children's needs or strengths, and then to be able to show them the gospel. So, hey, what do we want them to do as our listeners? They're not our listeners, but we'd love you to become our listeners.
Hey, we would love to have you listen over on Homeschooling in Real Life. We put out an episode a week on all kinds of topics that are relevant to the homeschool family.
And we like to get real. And I know that even sounds cliche, but what does that mean? We expose ourselves realistically what we're struggling with as homeschooling parents.
Yeah.
We find other parents to interview who are also willing to fillet themselves and just say, hey, this is real life. Mm-hmm. I'm really struggling. You know, this example, the topic, I don't want to continue to homeschool. I want to rip my hair out. those are the kind of topics we talk about. So you can join us. The easiest way is to do what, Kendra?
You can find us at homeschoolingirl.com.
And then link to any of our shows and just become part of our tribe. We'd love to have you over there. Thanks for letting us stop by. And again, happy birthday to the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.
Well, I get such a kick out of listening to Kendra and Fletch. They are so funny and amazing. And I was on a show with Fletch recently for Homeschooling IRL on homeschooling grandparents. And I shared a little bit about what I do with my grandkids. And I will put that link in the podcast notes here at Vintage Homeschool Moms on podcast 159. Or you can head over to Kendra and Fletch's page on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network and check out that show on grandparents. And it was really fun. One thing that Kendra said that really struck home for me was that homeschooling might not be the best thing for me, but it is the best thing for my kids. And that really... I think sums up the times when I have felt like, you know, do I really want to go through with this and continue homeschooling? And I know that with my youngest, he was done with high school pretty early on. And he asked that I not rush him through and allowed him to be a kid so that he would graduate from high school in 4 years. And he is doing some dual enrolled credits. And it's funny because I said I would never do that. I would never allow my kids to take some college credits while they were home. And Annie did that as well as Mike. And so the first year they both went together and I felt really good about that. The second semester they took two classes together and they took one individually. And now Anne's up in Maryland in college playing softball. Go Annie. She is starting as a shortstop for a team in Maryland. And Michael is taking three classes this semester. And so, you know, he's still homeschooled. He's still doing some things with me here. But he also has shown me that he is a very good student. I think he has a 3.8 right now. And I don't know if I could be 16 and in college doing that well, but he's doing a great job. But, you know, that's one of the things that when I hear about parents saying, well, I was brave enough to put my kids back in school and I didn't want to succumb to the pressure, I think that everybody has to look at homeschooling for themselves. I used to always be so disappointed when I'd hear about one of my really good friends putting their kids in school. And now I realize that I have enough on my own plate. I have enough of the things that I need to do and the important things that we need to focus on as a family that I can't worry about everyone else and what they're doing or not doing. All I can do is share with you what's on my heart and what's worked for us and hopefully come alongside you as a mentor to help you in your homeschooling journey. And that's exactly what all of our podcasters do at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. The last thing I was going to share with you, and I already segued into this earlier, is the thing about morals. And our children, because they've been brought up in a Christian household where we can use the name of Jesus. We can kneel down as we did every morning of our homeschool years and said our prayers before we began and lifted up Daddy at work and Grandma and Grandpa and anybody who came to mind, and then got up off our knees and did the Pledge of Allegiance and then started school. We could do that and, with freedom and not have to worry about who we were offending. And if we wanted to start with a Bible story or do, whatever the Bible teaching I had planned that day, I didn't have to worry about that. And I could use that as a focus of our curriculum. I mean, I wrote creation science materials along with Jill Whitlock, who's a creation scientist, and that was our focus, is, God in everything. And so when my children grew up and went on to school, or, I have two boys that have gone straight into the workforce, and my daughter Christina went to college, and Annie and Mike are in college. But when Christina went to college, she came home one day and she said, "Mom," she said, "I'm going to have to drop my literature class." And I said, "You're a communication major. You have to take that course." And she said, "Yeah, but the lady teaching it is a perverted grandma." And so we had the lecture again. You cannot just say that about people, and this is part of homeschooling, which I their mother didn't do this. So I don't know where they picked it up. Oh, gosh. So anyway, they, we talked about it and about the situation, and she goes, "It's this book she wants us to read." And like one of the things was, we're studying the streetcar named Desire. And, she said that the teacher said it was a classic, blah, blah, blah. And, now she was all happy that she was going to get into all of the innuendos that she couldn't do when she was teaching this high school course. But now that she was in college and we were older, she could deal with this. So that was just one thing. The other was this book on homosexuality that my daughter handed me and said, "Here, you read this. I'm making dinner, and see what you think. I mean, what do I do with this?" And so I read this short story, and it was pretty offensive. It had to do with in the early 1930s, something like that, in Germany, somewhere, I don't even remember where the book was set, but about, people that were homosexual and they were being tortured for their sexual orientation. And I went into some detail on that and so forth. I mean, I pretty much skimmed it. I didn't read it word for word. And when I came out, I said to my daughter, "Yes, you can drop the class. You have my permission." And so my daughter proceeded to drop the class. And the teacher put out word from the students that she wanted to talk to my daughter because she said, "I cannot believe that she dropped the class when she had an A going into it." I mean, that was this teacher's mentality. And so my daughter did go talk to the professor and told her exactly why she dropped the class. And the professor told her that she needed to grow up, that she, this was real life. And my daughter said, "I've seen what real life is, and it's nothing like this." And I was proud of her for standing up for herself and also for preaching without words, because a lot of the kids came to find her, to seek her out and ask her why in more detail, and to find out more about the Lord and what made her, have the morals that she had. And, this was a secular college, but the amazing thing is that she was able to take the course with another professor and do it on an individual basis. And it was a wonderful experience for her. But my kids formed their morals at home. When they left home and they saw behavior that would not be deemed, acceptable within the home or, as a Christian model, they were able to look at that and say, "I don't want a part of that. That is not something that I'm buying into. Just because you said this was a classic book or this is what everybody, quote unquote, is doing, I don't think that's acceptable." And so I want to praise God for that. I want to thank the Lord for giving me the fortitude to continue to homeschooling, because Kendra hit it on the head. you know, it may not always be the best thing for me. Like I shared, I suffered with migraines. I mean, there were days when I was in bed and my husband had to come home from work, and we own our own company. So when the boss is not there, that means everybody goes home. And, you know, there were some difficult times until I got to the bottom of it. And for me, people who are suffering with migraines, it turned out I was very dehydrated and didn't even realize it. And so all I had to do was increase my water intake and my migraines were gone, which is an amazing praise report. Yes, I get them from time to time, even when I'm hydrated, but nothing like when I was younger. And so not that, you know, everybody has to homeschool. It's up to you. But for us, it has been such a blessing. And, you know, we tried the alternative. I saw what happened in the school situation from behind the scenes. I see what's happening now. For us, number two was for me was a nurturing environment. The third was experiential learning. The fourth was relationships. And the five was morality. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the series of podcasts that we have brought you during our birthday month. I hope you've enjoyed getting to meet some of our newest podcasters, as well as some who have been with me, like Kendra and Fletch from the very beginning, and then Sue Meyer, I believe, joined within the first year. And it has been such a blessing to have them come alongside and bring you some of the most amazing podcasts in the homeschool arena. Thank you so much for joining me. Check me out at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Like us on Facebook as well as at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at mediaangels.com and thevintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.